During the Second World War, as you probably know, Germany occupied some of the Channel Islands. On one is a Methodist church which stopped gathering for worship when the occupation began. When the church was opened again 5 years later, the hymn numbers were still on the board, as they tend to be in Methodist churches, until they are taken down at the beginning of the next service. One of the hymns on the board was this short hymn, This is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. That was very appropriate, and the congregation used it when they had their first service back again. And equally, I think those words are appropriate for us, aren't they? God is our faithful, unchangeable friend. He has carried us through difficult times in past months. He has brought us to this point. As the Lord himself said through Isaiah, even though you go through deep waters, they will not overwhelm you. And even though you go through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am with you. And so we do praise him for all that is past, and we trust him for all that is to come in an uncertain future. Jesus is indeed the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And as we start a new chapter in the life of our church, we can be assured of his presence with us and his guidance as we seek direction for the future. In the second part of the Isaiah reading, the Lord says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." And as it was originally written, this probably refers to the past failures of the Israelites that had resulted in their exile in Babylon because of their failure to obey the Lord's commandments for them. "But that is now past," says the Lord. "They have done their time, so to speak. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." As we make a new start and seek to establish a new normal, are there things that we need to forget, that we need to leave in the past, as it were? I think for many, this pandemic has helped us to reassess what is really important in life and what is not. The deaths of so many highlight the fact that life is fragile and unpredictable. Who would have thought in our service on the 15th of March that it would be 6 months before we would be able to gather again for worship? The future is uncertain. Nothing can be guaranteed. COVID has reminded us, hasn't it, to appreciate those close to us while we are able to do that. It's also reminded us of the importance of community life and the need, especially for us as Christ followers, to care for our neighbours. So are there things that we maybe need to leave behind in order perhaps to make time for things like those that I've just mentioned, things which are more lasting, more important ultimately, or if not leave certain things behind completely, maybe prune them down a bit so that there is more time for other things. Lockdown has also influenced some of our spending patterns. Maybe we've discovered that we've been able to save some money on certain luxuries that we haven't been able to exercise, things like eating out. Could we maybe reassess our spending patterns and so free up more money to give away, to assist with the huge needs that we see in the world around us? By all means, let's still eat out to help out, but maybe on a different level. God's message through Isaiah then moves on to the future, which is really the focus of this passage. God says, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, they may proclaim my praise. The reference here is to the return of the Jews from captivity in Babylon back to their homeland. God says he will make a way for them through the desert. He will provide water for them in the wasteland. But notice that this is all leading up to something. He says, I will do this so that they may proclaim my praise. So that they may proclaim my praise. The people of Judah had been in a foreign land, and as the psalmist wrote and as Boney M. sang, by the rivers of Babylon, we hung up our harps and we wept. For how can you sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But here the Lord says he will bring them back to their homeland so that they may proclaim his praise. We have been in exile in a sense. We have been in a strange land and still are to some degree. But is the Lord now maybe bringing us back together? And if so, why? I would suggest that primarily it is for the purpose of proclaiming his praise, that like those Jews, we may proclaim his praise, that we may worship him as his people together. If there is one thing that I would like us to develop in our new normal as a congregation, it would be this element of worship. In the passage in 1 Peter, we read, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual temple to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices to God. You are being built into a spiritual temple. What is the purpose of a temple? It is, of course, for worship of God. And we are joined together in a spiritual temple to worship God, to offer not physical sacrifices like the priests of old, but as Peter says, to offer spiritual sacrifices, spiritual offerings of worship and praise. Later in that passage, Peter continues, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light. as those Jews were brought out of the darkness of captivity into the light of their return, so that they would be able to praise God freely. So we have been brought out of darkness into light, that we may declare the praises of God. Peter says there, we are a people belonging to God. For what purpose? So that we may declare his praises. But to be able to offer worship together, we need to be offering worship individually on our own first. If we are not meeting with God on our own privately, then our worship together will not be what it is meant to be. The Methodist Church of Britain is calling us in this new church year, beginning now in September, calling us anew to prayer and worship. With your membership card, which you'll be receiving in the next few weeks, there will be another one which sets out what is called a Methodist way of life. And it invites us to commit ourselves anew to four important aspects of our faith. And the first is worship. Worship on our own and worship together. Something else that the Methodist Church is doing as part of this thrust is to host a nationwide Zoom prayer meeting every Tuesday afternoon from 12:45 till 1:00 for those 15 minutes. And I joined the first one during this past week. I believe that God wants to do a new thing in us and through us. But for that to happen, he needs us as individuals and as a congregation to be willing and waiting and connected to him, so that he will more easily be able to do that new thing through us, through our worship and our devotion. In recent weeks, I've been getting up half an hour earlier in order to have a more adequate time with God. Will you join me in seeking to enhance our worship individually and together? It may be through having more time for your personal devotions, or it may be something else. But whatever it is, I believe it will help us to be ready for any new thing that God wants to do in us. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, that they may proclaim my praise. For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen.